verse 7 is where we'll start reading. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Unless I shall be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pled with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmity that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your ability. We thank you for your strength. We thank you for where we are now. We could not be here without your strength. We thank you for those who are listening, for without your strength, they could not hear. Father, we thank you for your strength, and we decree and declare through your grace that there's more and more strength that's given to us in the day that we're in. So we thank you, God, that we're being catapulted into a great future because the grace of God that rests upon us on this day. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen, amen, and amen. Go ahead and take your seats. I'm going to read just a little bit more. Grace to take it to the next level. 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 So many people are trying to take their businesses, their lives, their marriages, their families, their organizations, their nonprofits to the next level. In order for a born-again believer to take their organization or their families or their lives to the next level, it demands grace. It demands grace. I did not choose to read Acts chapter 1 first. Reason I didn't, because if I did, you will be trying to get filled with the Holy Spirit while I'm teaching. I am going to show you in Acts chapter 1 a work of grace. It took grace to save you. That's the first work of grace. Baptismal in water is a work of grace. Baptismal in the Holy Spirit is a work of grace. Entering into your calling, whether it be ministry, business, arts and entertainment, is a work of grace. The next levels of what you'll do with your organization or with your life is a work of grace. Without grace, you can't handle your next place. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, talking about Jesus, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, that's a work of grace, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. That's another work of grace. Verse 6, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. This is what Jesus spoke to them. So Jesus is saying to them, there's another work of grace that's going to come into your life. So before you leave Jerusalem, let's get this grace on you. So many people move before grace has been released. Let me explain to you why you see so many believers flipping out. They have achieved a position that they do not have grace on them to keep them. For years, under my spiritual father, who 6 years ago passed away, I ascribed to the grace that was on him. I would listen to his testimony. I would listen to how he was called. And I could see where grace came on his life after salvation. So he continued to matriculate higher because of grace. I am now under the leadership of another great leader whom, when I see them and I'm evaluating them, I see there is no way a human being can accomplish that without the help of the Lord. For many of you who are striving to be strong, you can't be strong until you've been weak. You can fake strength and we'll see you fall apart. Or you can admit that you're weak and grace comes on you and makes you strong, is what the Word of God says. I have been kept for 25 years, not because I'm strong, but because of the grace of the Lord that's on my life. Now, I ascribe to go to the next level. This is a next level of ministry. Are we shifting with you or without you? Because the grace is on us to shift. How do you know? Because I had mentors that I saw grace on and I saw the shift. So if you have mentors, you know what grace for the next level looks like. If all the people you ascribe to have been failures, you will never know what the next level of grace looks like. But if you have been around people who stepped it up and saw amazing things happen, then you will understand what grace looks like. Now, everybody wants to, in my arena, everybody wants to grow a church. Church growth is dependent upon grace. You can want to do what I do, but if you don't have the grace that I have, you can't do what I do. I can't do what they do unless I have the grace that they have. Because when you start moving higher, there's an attack that comes against your life. And you can't get on social media cussing. I can tell you don't have grace because you're fighting just as hard as your enemy. And the Bible said, hold your peace. Grace has to come on you to shut your mouth. I learned that me retaliating against a known enemy is more damaging to me than it is to them. They just gonna beat themselves. I just have to remain silent and let the Lord go to work for me. It takes grace to be quiet as a black man. It's not that I don't have the power to defend myself. I just don't need to look like a fool fighting with people who are going nowhere. Somebody shout grace. All right. The Holy Spirit was the work of grace to assist in the next level of operation. So whenever it's time for the next level of operation, there is a dispensation of grace that comes on the individual or the organization. Just because you're gifted doesn't mean you're graced. So when it's time to move to the next place, there is a dispensation of grace that comes on you. So Jesus is taking them from being disciples to apostles. So there has to be a dispensation of grace on them. Because the disciples ran and the apostles stood their ground. The difference was there was a grace that was on them as apostles that was not on them as disciples. So the Holy Spirit was the work of grace to assist in the next level of operation. Jesus said, stay right here. Stay in the church. Keep ushering and greeting. Don't go out there unless you have the grace to handle it. Don't go to the club trying to say to people at the club and you ain't got enough grace on you to not smoke some weed while you're in the club. Just bring it at home. If you're gonna get high, you can't evangelize. You gotta not have enough grace on you that when they start smoking, you still withhold your, you uphold your testimony. That's grace. That's grace. See, whenever God gets ready to do something more with you, he is going to release a dispensation of grace on your life to do it. This, all we do is send out a message. We change the service to 11 o'clock. And it's so easy that people just come. Why? Because there's a grace on it. We make it look very easy, but there's a price for grace. A believer can't avoid grace and move to the next level. A believer cannot avoid grace and move to the next level. Now, let's talk. I've been married. March will be 34 years. We've been married. March 24th. You're going to celebrate and you're going to give. Now, in order to celebrate 34 years, grace had to be there for the first five. Grace had to be there at the 10th. Lady David said grace had to be there for the first year. Every time we were coming close, and I can remember this, I can remember we were approaching our 8-year anniversary, and it got tough. It got tough. Wasn't tough long, but it got tough. Because in order to cross that threshold, it was going to take another dispensation of grace to get over that hurdle, whatever that was, to move over into the 9th year. Some of you have been progressing and you want to get your next year of anniversary, but you don't have the grace for it. Well, you're going to get it today. See, it takes, for all of you who are trying to get out, it takes grace to stay. You don't need grace to leave. You need grace to stay. I'm talking about in a real marriage. It takes grace. Not you doing your own thing. She's doing her own thing. And y'all got separate accounts. And y'all don't know what anybody's doing. You know, it takes grace to be friends when you're married. It takes grace. It takes grace. Because at one time when grace wasn't enough, you wanted to kill them. But grace came on you and you put that butcher knife back in the drawer. But it takes grace to take things to the next level. That's for a believer. If you're worldly, you just spend enough money to make them happy. But that doesn't last long. So a believer, that's everybody that's born again. If you're not, by the end of the service, you're going to be born again because I'm going to do an altar call. A believer cannot afford grace and move to the next level. Your weakness is a doorway to the relationship with grace that leads to the next level. Your weakness is a doorway. If you say you don't have a weakness, you don't have grace. And those of you who are trying to avoid the reality that you have a weakness, you never capitalize on grace. So your weakness, according to what I read out of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, based on what I read, the weakness of Paul, he said, I prayed three times. The weakness of Paul introduced him to the grace that was sufficient for him. Some people like to look strong. I want to be strong. It's easy to look strong in church. It's difficult to be strong when you're outside of church and all that the demons that were attached to your great-great-grandparents starts to infiltrate your life. Now you have an appetite for something you don't understand, and that's why you need grace. I know you better than you know yourself. You just like your parents without grace. You just like your grandparents without grace. You just like those who fail without grace. Once you get grace, it'll keep you, so your test will become your testimony. So your weakness is the doorway to the relationship with grace. You need to have a relationship with grace. Not grace just save me. Don't just save me, grace. I need you. I need you. I'm going to be jacked up. I need you. I'm going to be suicidal. I got people in my bloodline that tried to kill themselves. So, grace, I need you to walk with me all my life. I need you. I got family members who were strung out on drugs. I need you, grace. Have them crazy and don't even know it. I need you, grace, because I know the devil's going to come after my DNA, my bloodline. So I need you, grace, with me all the time. I don't need you to just save me. I need you to walk with me, because I have tendencies just like those who came before me, but grace will keep me. So your weakness is a doorway to the relationship with grace that leads to the next level. The more I became acquainted with grace, I realized it was a tool for my success, not just for a tool for my salvation. There's something beyond you being saved. You need to figure out what's next. Grace helps you to figure out what's next. What if grace only saved me? And I didn't realize that grace wanted me to reach thousands of people, if not millions of people, and be a global impact figure. All that has to do with grace. You will always serve in lower levels if you don't understand the grace that increases when you get ready to dream big. Dr. Martin Luther King said, I have a dream. The grace was on him at 39 years old to get things done, that it would take somebody that's 100 years old to get it done. But grace was on him in 39 years. That was grace. We can try to echo him, but if we don't have the grace he had, we can't do what he done. When grace is on you, when they bomb your house, you just turn around and say, let's get another house and let's keep on working. Let me tell you why many of you give up in tough times, because you don't have enough grace on your life to keep coming back. There's a grace on my life. Do whatever you want to do, but grace is on me to keep coming back. How do you know? Because grace was on my father. So it is your weaknesses that introduces you to grace. It is your weaknesses that causes grace to become your best friend. One thing, grace never walks away on you. Grace never misunderstands you. Why are you talking about grace? Are you living wrong? I promise you, I'm living better than your little old self. And you think because you're not physically doing anything and you have hatred and jealousy and envy in your heart that you're okay. Not to mention the rebellion that nobody can tell you anything. You need grace. When the last time you submitted to a leader? You need grace. When is the last time you said yes, sir, to a command that was given to you? You need grace. When the last time you followed an order out to its completion? You need grace. You're missing your destiny because all destinies are united by the authority that's over your life. So if you can't submit to authority, you need to scream in this atmosphere, grace, grace, I need grace. Some of y'all mad as hell against authority. You need grace. Some of y'all don't want nobody telling you what to do. You need grace. How are you going to enter over into the best that God has for you and nobody can tell you anything? Well, I'm already at my best. No, you're average. People without salvation can do that. Okay. Excuse me. So many people think they know church, but don't know grace. You know religion, which is an alternative for those who did not walk grace out to its full maturity. You need grace to follow an African-American leader. I'm gonna say it again. You need grace because in our culture, they have detested black leadership. You need grace when you walk up in here and I look just like you and you think I don't know no more than you. Well, if I'm leading you and I'm leading this organization, I know something through grace. All right. Are y'all okay? Somebody shout grace. You thought grace was just to cover up what you done last night. Grace is about taking you to a destiny that no one in your bloodline has ever even thought about, let alone tried. It was your flaws and inadequacy that introduced you to the power of grace. Notice how it describes grace. It describes grace as strength. It describes grace as power. So with it describing grace as strength, that the power of Christ might rest on me, is what the Apostle Paul said. So when you start talking about power, you start talking about the dunamis, you start talking about the Holy Ghost. Because you can never have dunamis power without the Holy Ghost. And you can't have the Holy Ghost without a working of grace. It was your flaws and inadequacies. That's why, you know, people get mad when you uncover them. I'm going to say, you're not going to treat me like that, because they start treating you like what you felt like. You're not going to talk to me like that because you feel like you've been bullied all your life. See, when people start talking to me and it don't relate to me, I'm like, who are you talking to? I start looking around because that doesn't equate to me. I am not going to identify myself with some heinous conversation that somebody's having that doesn't include me. Because grace is on me. Let me help some of y'all that don't do what you used to do. So when they start a conversation talking about what you used to do, that grace came on you that you don't do anymore, you start looking around and you start smiling. I don't know who they're talking to. Because that's not me anymore. Don't you know I'm a member of Refresh Family Church under Apostle Bishop Stephen A. Davis? Do you know who I am? Did you see me walk up there and join the church? Do you not know I get a text message every day? Do you not know what I'm a part of? If all you know is my past that was not under grace, now I'm in another place under grace, and you don't understand. Don't talk to me like you used to talk to me. Talk where I am, not where I've been. See, when people are talking and it's not true, It doesn't demand a response from you. I have nothing to prove to anybody. I am not sitting in the house that God gave you. I am sitting in the house that God gave me. That's called grace. It's not on loan. It's not a lease. Not being borrowed. That's grace. You take an uneducated man and educate him and then give him global influence. That's grace. God's about to educate some of y'all. Because the grace is going to take you somewhere that you're going to need more education. So not only is he going to take you, he's going to educate you on your way. How many of y'all ready to go back to school to fit where God is taking you? I'm going to say it again. There's a grace on you to think, I don't know if I can handle a class. Yes, you can. If grace is on you to give you the position, then grace is on you to get the degree. Don't start acting crazy when you get the degree. You know how some of us are. There's a grace on myself and Lady David should not act foolish because we're succeeding. You would think that we live like everybody else lives, but that's not the truth. It's just grace on us to not flip out just because we got something a little bit better than somebody else. We still speak to everybody. I think us speaking to everybody and being nice to everybody, because I think without grace, you got to put your nose in the air just because you just got an upgrade. Now, I keep my head straight. You want to know why? Because I'm going to get another upgrade and another upgrade and another upgrade. And if I hadn't trained myself now, you're about to fool some people. There's some people that are about to walk away from you because you don't act like you got the influence that you have. They're about to miss their opportunity. They're about to walk away from you, not knowing you're the door to their destiny. Any power is dispensed. Anytime power is dispensed, it speaks to the grace being applied to a life or organization. So when power or grace is dispensed, it is now impacting a life or an organization. So grace is released for a destiny that's dormant in a life or an organization. So God chooses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. So God said, I'm going to get somebody that can't, and I'm going to put grace on them because they know they can't. See, there's too many people who think they can do all things without Christ. But some of us who know we can't do it without Christ, we have to do it with Christ. Then grace comes on us to get it done. Let's read it again. Anytime power is dispensed, it speaks to the grace being applied to a life or an organization. This morning I woke up and I sent a text out. I told the men earlier, I sent a text out. In the text, I said that I want the grace that's on your life. I get a response back because of the text that I sent. And they said to me, you need to come visit me. For all these smart people who don't have grace and don't get an invitation, it's not about how you stroke your gift. It's about what you see in others that got what you want. You don't covet it. You just asking, can I get in the room with you? Can I hear the way you think? The difference between successful people and people who are not so successful is that successful people think a certain way. Grace is putting you in the room so you can hear what successful people are thinking. Because successful people are doing something different than what you're doing. Because all you're doing is praying and never changing the way you think. And you'll pray the rest of your life, and you'll be in that condition the rest of your life. Because when grace comes on you, grace changes the way you think. The difference between me pastoring thousands and somebody pastoring two or three is because of the way I think. I don't think selfishly. I include everybody. I study my audience, and I'm not trying to feed them something that doesn't work anymore. That's not their appetite. What are they eating now? How do I serve them a healthy meal that they can digest without throwing up? So I'm serving them the same thing you serve them. I just got a cup of tea sitting there that they can drink behind it. You just demanding that they swallow. They need something to coat their throat while they're taking in the truth that God sent. And if you ain't got enough grace on your life, you don't know how to pivot and change your approach to things. So you always have an audience. It's not that they don't want to come. It's just the way you set your table. Somebody say grace, 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 grace. See, there's a power resting on this house. There's a power resting on your life. You're about to get more done in this time in your life. No, it ain't no time to be retiring. Grace is coming on you. Are y'all okay? Grow a church. How do you stop a church from growing? When things start happening over grace, you're trying to figure out, how do I manage all of this? And God is only going to give you as much as you can manage under grace. The more grace comes on you, the more your management skills increase. A lot of us want a lot of money, but we can't manage what we have because we don't have grace on us. Soon as grace comes on you and you stop spending all your money on tennis shoes, God's gonna pour some out on you. You don't have room enough to receive. Excuse me. So this grace. If you want what you came from, you have to get back under the beginning of grace. This is mature growth grace. Every time I shift, it's because grace shifts. And I dare not shift with grace, or I'll become history. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Now, how do we start with grace, and now it's all about us? I'm going to read it again. For you have been saved, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So it took grace to save me. It's simple. Now that grace is in my life, whatever my next plan is, if it doesn't have grace on it, I don't do it. I don't care how good it sounds. If it doesn't have grace on it, I won't do it. I don't care what the self-appointed deacons say. Because you got those. If grace started it, grace is going to lead all the way home. For those of you who are now believing in your skills as an entrepreneur, when it took grace to give you an idea, based on a need. Because if it wasn't a need, you would have already gone out of business. But based on the need that came from the idea that grace gave you, now you need more grace because your clientele has increased. You got to have grace on you when it's time to go from your house to a warehouse. The reason some of y'all hadn't gone to a warehouse, you don't have the grace on you yet. But when the grace comes on you, it's going to be hard to stay in your house with grace on you for a warehouse. So every time grace came, I had to upgrade in a building. Why we get another building? Because grace is on me for another building. I can't fit y'all in 300 seat buildings right now. There's no way. So grace was on me, and the grace said, while I was in the 300 seater, grace says increase has come. So we increased by 300 people in a matter of a month and a half. You want to know why? Grace was there for that. By grace, you have been saved through faith in grace, and not of your degree. Nothing about your physical man can get you where God wants to take you. If you're able to maintain where you are without grace, it's not even close to where God wants to take you. All the ministry I do is a result of the grace that rests on my life. So you can't kill grace, you can't kill me. All of you who are complaining about attacks, if they can't strip grace from you, they can't stop you. The Bible says the more they oppressed them, the more they grew. It was because grace is on you. It operates the opposite way. They put pressure on you, you start expanding. Anybody ready to expand? You bring me a problem, bring a problem in my life, and watch me blow up. How many of y'all about to blow up? You're about to blow up. You're about to blow up. You're about to, some stuff's about that. Yeah. Grace is on you. If grace is on you, you can't stay small. If grace is on you, you can't keep thinking like a little church person. No, when grace is on you, you're going to advance. When grace is on you, you're not going to blame your haters. You're going to thank your haters. Thank you for hating me. Thank you for not believing in me. Thank you for walking away from me. Thank you, because when you left me, grace came to walk with me. Somebody say this with me. I am not done with grace. I am not done with grace. I am not done with grace. Those of you who have a dream, you can't be done with grace. Those of you who see a future that's beyond what you've seen with your parents, you have no examples in your bloodline of what you're about to do, so you're going to need grace to keep on doing it. My grandmother, she was a pastor. My brother is a pastor, but they didn't do what I'm doing right now. So once I got beyond them, I said, I need grace with me, because they can't tell me how to run 5,000 people, multiple locations, and they never done it, because the grace was never on that. And I'm tired of y'all running around letting people try to teach you how to do something, and they don't have enough grace on their lives to do it themselves. Because you can't tell me anything until you've done what I do. Slap your neighbor, high five, tell them we gotta do this thing. We gotta do this thing. Tell me how to last when all hell's breaking loose. You ain't seen it, you can't tell me how to do it. You can't tell me how to have a solid marriage and a marriage ain't never been tried. You got to, I don't want to talk to anybody that hadn't been through the grace that I've had to use on my own life. You can't tell me that a black man can't make it, baby, because I'm making it right now, because grace is on me. I am not arrogant, I am graced. Look at your neighbor, tell him, I'm graced, I'm graced, I'm graced. And I dare you to look at what I'm going to do next. Like my daddy would say, if he was still in the earth, watch this, watch this, watch this, watch, 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 watch. I feel my daddy's anointing on my life. I feel my daddy's power. That's the thing about coming under grace. You are a recipient of that same grace. And that grace is on me. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength and the ability. Somebody shout grace again. The only reason you're quitting because you don't have a mentor. The only reason you're throwing the towel in is because you didn't have a mentor. But you have a mentor with grace on them. You become a partaker of that same grace. Slap your neighbor high five. Tell him I can't quit. I can't quit. I can't quit. I don't know how to quit. I wasn't taught to quit. Yeah, grace is on me. What be on my father, my leader, be on me. It be on me. You want to know where I come from? You got to know what he was doing. And if he was doing more than what I'm doing, I'm still holding on to that grace. 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 He was in Atlanta. I'm in Birmingham. What a connection in Dallas, Texas. Grace. Grace, grace, every joint supplier, grace, grace. If you're hooked up, you go up, grace. I ain't just linking around, baby. I'm plugged in, so I am a recipient of the grace. They ain't seen nothing yet. Let them criticize your message, but they're going to have to sit down and be quiet when the manifestation of your promise. We didn't come to take sides. Slap your neighbor, hop out, tell them we're taking over, we're taking over. We're taking over, we're taking over. We're taking over, we're taking over. We're taking over, yes we are. Yes we are. Yes we are. We ain't trying to sit in a corner. We're not looking for comfort. We're looking for an opportunity. We have been graced to change our streets. We've been graced to change our city. We've been graced to change our state. We've been graced to change our nation. The grace of God is on us. That's why when you're hungry for a position, you need to ask yourself, do I have the grace on me? Do I have the grace on me to do what needs to be done? Because when you don't have grace, you criticize your leader. And the reason you're criticizing, you don't have the grace to follow the leader. Erica, he was 35,000 members strong. I hooked up. There were 380 pastors. I was the 381st one. But grace was on me. See, you don't mind starting in a parking lot when grace is on you. When grace is on you, give me a broom, give me a mop, give me a buffer. I'm going to work my way to the top. When grace is on you, it doesn't matter where you start. I don't care if you got a doctorate, grab a mop and watch God do some amazing things through that mop. You just find where you can get in so you can fit in so that the same amazing grace comes on your life. Some of you are already in organization that will take you to the top. Stop talking to people who don't have grace on them. There's always somebody that don't understand that you're favored by God, because grace means favor. If God could do it for Joseph, after he had been thrown in a pit, after he had been sold by his brothers, after he got into Potiphar's house, Potiphar's wife accused him of wrongdoing. He goes back to the pit, but there was a day coming that the favor of God, the grace of God, will rest on his life, and he went from the pit to the palace. How many of y'all are ready because of grace to go from the pit to the palace? Somebody shout, this year. They don't understand that this is your year. They don't understand that this is the time that God is going to favor you. They don't understand that God has selected and positioned this particular season for you. And don't try to explain it to them. Just learn how to enjoy what the Lord is doing in and through your life. Somebody shout. Year. Give your testimony. It's my year. It's my year. Yes. I don't care how many bad people have been around you. All you need is one good person. One good person. One good person. And I think of his goodness and all that he's done for me. My soul cries out, hallelujah. Somebody's shifting and changing right now. Something's happening. I feel a breakthrough in this place. I feel an unusual anointing in this place. I feel glory in this place. I feel the favor of God in this place. I feel Jesus in this place. I feel a shift in this place. Somebody's life is changing forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Get beside yourself. Everybody don't want to celebrate you, even if they sit next to you. You might need to get beside yourself. You're not going to stop me this time. You talked me out of it years ago. You're not talking me out of it now. You're not going to discourage me now. I see an avenue open. I see the floodgates opening. You're not going to discourage me. You're not going to talk me out of it. I say it's mine, and it's mine right now.
Ever in the Birmingham area, we'd love to see you. Stop by, because everyone is welcome at Refresh Family Church. It's full of friendly people, a warm atmosphere, and a powerful word. Our service times are Sundays at 9 a.m. or our empowerment service on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We're located at 117 12th Court Northwest in Birmingham, Alabama. We'll see you soon at Refresh. Want to find out more about Apostle Stephen A. Davis? Well, log on, because StephenADavis.org is now live. That's right, log on to StephenADavis.org now and you can find out all about him. Watch live broadcasts and get all the information you need at StephenADavis.org. Available on all platforms. Log on today. Refresh Family Church. As we worship together, remember our five goals: serving the needs of families, reaching the lost, equipping the saints, reaching the nations, and transferring to generations. At Refresh Family Church, we're more than just a church. We're a nation. To find out more, log on to StephenADavis.org. We'll see you next time.